Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Assemblywoman Jill Tolles talked to Maria Hager and I. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Rue Goodnow, Mylon Hawkins, and Mike Draper. It's all coming up next on All New Nevada Newsmakers.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roof.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane. We can get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Assemblywoman Jill Tolles from Nevada District 25. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here. I think this is my first time actually officially as Assemblywoman Jill Tolles.
No.
I've been on here before I was Assemblywoman. Oh, that's not true. During the session, we had a little conversation.
Yeah. And you were at KOH. Anyway, let's get to the serious issues here.
Yes.
So as you talk to your constituents, what do they feel these days? Are they happy with the economy? Are they happy with the president? Are they happy with the state government? Are they happy with their Raiders football stadium? What are they telling you?
Well, I think that we continue to hear the same themes, just different flavors of it throughout time. I tend to hear mostly about the priorities that people care about the most, always circle around the economy, education, and safety.
All right, so
and
let's start with the economy.
So I do hear about each of those. So in regards to the economy, certainly in northern Nevada, we see some very exciting things happening. We see a lot of exciting growth, and I think what excites me the most is seeing that a lot of that's homegrown. So a lot of small businesses, certainly people bolstering their existing businesses, hiring again, but that always leads to the next big challenge, which is workforce development. And do we have a talented and educated work pool to choose from? And certainly we've put a lot of focus into K-12 education, and we are seeing some return on that investment. We're seeing some improvement. I think it's always important to acknowledge that when we see that. But we also are seeing some needs in the adult population. We have still a vast majority of adults that are underemployed, and we need to capture that audience and get them into some of our training programs and get them into these higher paid jobs.
And how do you think we're going to accomplish that?
Well, I definitely think that the community colleges are often the most nimble and able to work with the industries to provide the certification programs to meet the demands of those in-demand industries. I think it's a matter of really reaching into the communities and to the adult populations that may not even be aware that those programs exist. And they need to know that instead of having to work 3 part-time jobs to try and feed their family of 4, they could go and to Western Nevada College or Truckee Meadows Community College and take a 6-month or an 18-month program in mechatronics or in coding or, you know, any variety of construction management, construction skills, labor. logistics to be able to meet those in-demand jobs and make $40,000 to $60,000 to $70,000 a year. And so when I hear from employers, they're looking for employees to fill those positions. And when I hear from the underemployed adults out there, they're looking for jobs with higher wages. And that certainly ties into a lot of the other questions that we've been discussing in regards to affordability and so forth. The last thing I'll say, though, that's interesting to me, you know, you keep hearing in the topic of education that Nevada's last. And when you look at the actual factors that go into that report, when we look at what our academic performance is, we're actually closer to 38th in the nation. So we are seeing gains. We are seeing improvement. The teachers are working hard. The schools are working hard. But what drags us down is, among other things, the parents' employment level and the parents' education level. So I think by tackling this issue, we do a few things. We supply the workforce for our emerging economy. We also get a nice little shot in the arm to our overall ranking as a state, so we can help to reverse the stigma that we have, that we're always last in the country. And then finally, I think when you have students who are looking at mom and dad sitting at the table with their backpack and their books with them, because they see that there's an opportunity for advancement and benefit there, it motivates those kids in K through 12 to see the value in education, because they're all doing it together. I was so moved by a story of at Northern Nevada Literacy Center, working with some of our toughest population, adult population, and in regards to education and just high school equivalency exams, for example. And this one mom that had been working as a housekeeper for 20 years decided to get her high school equivalency exam because she knew that she could move up to the next level, but she couldn't unless she had that. And she graduated with her 17-year-old daughter at the same time. And if we see more of that, I think that we'll see a change in that culture of education. And that's part of the equation.
Jill, you mentioned education rankings, and Nevada consistently is in the bottom five, mm-hmm. On those. But if you took Washoe County out of that and Clark County out of that, it would seem like those numbers would be a lot different, wouldn't they? I mean, the Clark County School District is so enormous, mm-hmm. and it deals with a somewhat transient population, mm-hmm. that their scores drag down the rest of the state in a way. Do you see that? Are you frustrated by that as a Washoe County legislator?
Well, it is interesting to be in a position at the statewide level to really look at the diverse populations we have across the state. We really almost have three different time zones in this state, right? You've got Clark County, which is its own enormous entity, and then you've got Washoe County, and then you have the rurals. And so when you look at statewide policy and how do you make sure that we're putting policies in place that are improving each of those counties wherever they are, it can be a challenge to realize that what works here may not work there, may not work there. You're correct that Washoe County is performing better, but that's not to say that some of the same challenges we see in Washoe County aren't some of the similar issues that we see in Clark County, and that we need to be identifying policies that are going to work in really all of our schools across the state.
All right, let's take a break. More with Jill Tolles when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. We can save you money, and add comfort and value to your home. To find out how, check out our new website. If you visit the site before June, you could win $1,000 cash in a random drawing. Just enter your name, Nevada zip code, and email, and you could be the lucky winner. Go to homeenergyexperts.com. That's homeenergyexperts.com. Must be 18 or older. The drawing will be held June 1st.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblywoman Jill Tolles.
Jill, we were speaking about education. I wanted to keep that theme, but I wanted to talk about funding education. Now, currently, Nevada has two taxes on legalized marijuana, a 15% wholesale, 10% retail. Mm-hmm. The wholesale tax, some of that does go to the DSA. Mm-hmm. But the retail tax, the 10%, it goes into the rainy day fund. And I was just wondering, do you think that, although the rainy day fund is important and you don't need that money until you really need it, do you think that rainy day fund money should go into the DSA or go directly to the county school districts?
So there was a little bit of moving around at the very end of session from the rainy day fund, if I remember correctly, and I'll have to go back and look at the notes, but into covering some of the other, you know, for example, the engineering school at UNR and the Veterans House and so forth. So the rainy day fund had been growing and it was at a good, adequate level. Some of that money was then taken out to cover some of these other important projects around the state. And so this will help replenish that, but I would presume that we'll be having a conversation in the next legislative session about whether or not now that that's replenished, if that needs to go back into directly into the school district.
So how replenished, how much is in the rainy day fund now? Do you know?
You know, I don't know offhand, but I know that it was part of the Governor Sandoval's State of the State address that we had successfully replenished that account at an adequate level. And I don't want to speak to a specific number, but without having it in front of me. But it'd be nice to get back to that level again.
Let me ask you this. Ruben Murillo on the program from the NACA has talked about how much money he would like to see, and others have given the same number, of $1 billion additional money going to education. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's in any way realistic?
I don't see an appetite for that level of an increase right now. I think that seeing that we are overperforming in a good portion of our revenues is a good sign. I think that we've always need to have a healthy balance between making sure our economy is thriving, that we're growing our economy, growing our revenue streams, and as we're growing those, we're seeing more funds being put into education. You know me, I've always been education first person. That's how I got involved with politics in the first place. I believe that education is a good return on investment. I think I'd rather spend money on educating our students, making sure that they're equipped to enter into the workforce and be contributing members of our community instead of having to pay for more prisons down the road or more government services to meet those needs down the road. That being said, it's always going to have to be an incremental balance between growing our economy, making sure that we have the revenues in place, and making sure that they're being spent wisely. And I think that there's, in regards to an overall statewide discussion, revenues are always going to be a part of it. Again, making sure that they're directed in the right ways to get the best return on that investment. But some of the things that I'm seeing are considerations that we need to address is just the budgeting cycle. A lot of times what we have is the school districts will write their budgets before we know for sure what the state funds are going to be. And then they propose those budgets. We come back with this is really all that we have. and then it looks like these drastic cuts. We need to have a better cycle, I think, for how we address the budgeting process, because it is difficult. I was just meeting with a principal last week who said it's really hard to plan his budgets, and his personnel have to make decisions about whether or not they want to stay there, not knowing for sure if there's going to be the budget for them to stay there.
Okay, but so are you proposing annual sessions?
No, definitely not proposing annual sessions, but I think that it's a valid question about how do our calendars align, and is there some ways that we can better prepare for that process so we don't keep seeing this push-pull? And I'm sure there's others that have probably asked that question before. I'd like to hear what the answers were, but I think that's something that I hear as a challenge as part of this constant push-pull of the budget discussion.
Would you plan or propose a bill draft on that?
Well, I definitely have had enough people bring up the question that it's something that I think that we need to have a comprehensive discussion in. And let me add to that that I'm also on the study committee for our funding formula.
For education.
Okay. So we have national experts that are coming in and giving us some information, both analyzing how we're currently approaching these processes now, and also looking at best practices in other states. And at the end, we should have some more clarity on what are some avenues that we could possibly pursue.
Okay, last quick question, because we only got about 20 seconds.
Sure.
Are your constituents that you're talking to right now happy with the president, unhappy with the president? Your thoughts.
You know, I love being able to focus on the statewide policies, so that tends to be what we talk the most about. Local government is what impacts most people's lives the most. So for the city council members, focusing on city council issues, county commissioners focusing on county issues, state members focusing on state issues, and then, you know, the federal government is always a whole other ballpark.
All right, and that's so where we got to leave it. Thank you so much for being here, as always. We appreciate it.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Rue Goodnow is back, the attorney with Parsons, Bailey, and Latimer. Pleasure to have you back, sir.
Thank
Marlon
you.
Hawkins, Vice President of Interface Computer Associates, and Mike Draper, partner with Argentum Partners. And I want to start with you, Rue. Interesting story in the Las Vegas Sun from the AP. And the headline was, more businesses, including strip casinos, are mellowing out over hiring pot smokers. And I thought that was quite fascinating. But when the unemployment rate drops below 4% for the entire country, got to make some changes, right?
Well, they're making some changes in the U.S. military. I mean, you know, this is an issue that's very difficult for employers. We have it with a lot of our clients because they have safety concerns. They have OSHA and MSHA regulations that require policies that preclude use of controlled substances. And then you have the state medical certificates. So which one do you permit? And it was almost a catch-22 and still really is for employers. Some of them have been able to work their way around it. Others have not. But I think this problem, like all problems in human existence, the politics will go farther than the law, and the law will catch up.
And it's interesting because, as I mentioned, with the unemployment rate the way it is, everybody needs employees. And are we starting to see a split between, you know, what jobs in a certain company are allowed where marijuana is not a problem versus somebody who's driving a forklift that obviously you wouldn't want to have, or somebody performing surgery?
Yes. And this is a difficult problem, particularly now, Sam, that many people are using medical marijuana, and for them it's a necessity, and they're good workers, but they suffer from various conditions. Fortunately, there are strains that are not necessarily hallucinogenic, so there are options, but in the technical industry, you do not want people making mistakes. If you've got people entering data that's critical, you need to have them very sharp because your company can very well depend on that data. So I have a great deal of sympathy for this and how it's going to work out.
Mike, how do you think this is going to play out at the legislature?
Well, I think that in talking to legislators, obviously our elected officials understand what the will of the people is. It's been voted on overwhelmingly. It's been supported by people, both medical and recreational. So I think legislators take that into account. I think the one caution that many of them have is let's not rush things. This can play out over time. I think we all know eventually, someday, some way, some shape or form, this is going to end up, and it's going to be very similar to alcohol, I think, in a lot of ways, and how alcohol is treated. But I don't think there's a need to address it all at once. I think that there's got to be good regulations that are put in place. I think our legislators are very much looking at that. There have been attempts to let's legalize everything and do everything all at once. And I think everybody said, let's hold on a minute and see how this works. And I think so far it's working pretty well. And I think as long as we keep taking a measured approach, which it sounds like most of our legislative body wants to do, I think it will continue to be. We'll eventually set the standard in the country for how you implement these types of laws and this type of regulation.
Rue, in the future, do you see changes in laws like DUI laws involving marijuana, how it's tested now? Because apparently right now there isn't a really good, you know, accurate test for testing someone if they're high on marijuana. They can test if it's in your blood, but if you're...
Well, that's stoned. Right. There isn't a good test, and that's one of the big problems. That's not the only big problem, but it's one of them. And I don't see personally how the state legislature solves this problem alone. There has to be a federal solution because without that, you have this conflict between federal and state law.
Okay, so going on that, we saw Senator Cory Gardner from Colorado impeding the appointment of various positions through the Senate. Until the president agreed that they would not go after Colorado in terms of marijuana. Do you think that as more states, and I think there's going to be more states as they see the money that's coming in, that you end up where it just becomes legal federally just because you've got an overwhelming number of states that have passed legalization laws?
Well, Sam, your comment kind of goes back to my last comment a moment ago, and that is that the law catches up usually with society. And at some point, I think the law will have to catch up to where we are as the, you know, the accretion of the states just becomes so big that the federal laws have to catch up with it. But we have all kinds of problems. The banking problem is the one that a lot of people have identified. These operations can't bank, and from my standpoint, that's a safety issue. You have big piles of cash sitting around in safes and all these marijuana shops, and I think that's a public safety hazard.
Well, and also when people go to pay their taxes, they have to pay them in cash as well.
Absolutely. And what happens to that money if it falls into someone's hands who decides they're going to put a little bit of it in their pocket?
So that takes Nevada back to the 1950s.
That's right. And we really need to address these issues because if we look at the laws that we have for DUI, and that applies the same way to marijuana, and again, if we don't have a way of testing for it, how do we say that someone was operating something under the influence of?
But I must admit, Mike, because I'm driving along the freeway, and I'm driving by somebody, you know, the speed limit is 65, and the guy in front of me is at 35. I'm starting to think maybe this dude has been smoking a little.
Well, I think, Sam, we'd be crazy to not assume that, right? Mm-hmm. There's drunk driving is a major epidemic in our communities. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't this be the same? I do think that one area where the federal government's really missing out and hindering local and state governments, in addition to the banking issue, is research. And by not allowing or not fully endorsing universities and different educational institutions that receive federal dollars to really delve into this and create some empirical data where we're able to develop different technologies that help insulate against the damages of this, or just simply see how it really can be effective and really used, we're really missing out on an opportunity. And that's something the federal government could be doing right now that I think would really help proliferate the regulation around this industry.
And I couldn't agree with you more, and that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much, and we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
On our next broadcast, Dion Contine will join us. We'll see you then.